Wellington on Saturday on News Talk ZB with Lewis's, making your decorating dreams a reality at a price that works for you.
It is 12 minutes past 10. Americans who come to New Zealand because they want to live here are usually portrayed in the media as multimillionaires intent on buying up huge tracts of prime land. Well, that could not be said about Jared Gullion, a real city boy from Chicago. He fell in love with 20 acres and an olive grove in Martinborough. That was about 7 years back. He now has a great brand of olive oil called Moon Over Martinborough. He has a blog site with the same name. He has a book just published. And I believe he's on first name terms with an eclectic mix of animals.
Yes, I am.
It's been a steep learning curve.
It has been a steep learning curve. When we moved out to Martinborough, I knew nothing about taking care of animals or olives at all. And I grew up in the suburbs of Detroit, and so there weren't a lot of cattle or sheep around there. And we've had a fantastic time learning a lot, and it's been our neighbors who have taught us so much. I often say if it weren't for our neighbors, we would have been found dead in a corner long ago.
But it wasn't your love affair initially, was it? It was CJ, your partner, CJ.
My partner, CJ, who originally found the property, and we were living in Wellington at the time, in Island Bay, and he came home one day and said, "Let's move to Martinborough." And I thought he was absolutely crazy.
Yeah.
It's because he said, "Oh, there's olive trees." And I said, "We know nothing about olives." But he insisted, so he dragged me out to the property. And
Over that hill.
Yep, over the hill. He drove that day. I still don't like that hill. It's better now, I have to say.
It freaks a lot of people out. It's not just you. It's not just Americans who we frighten with the rheumatics.
It is better than when we first drove over the hill, because they have done quite a bit of improvements. But we got over the hill. I took one look at that olive grove, and I was hooked. I mean, it was beautiful. Imagine, you know, the person you love stands you in front of all that beauty and says, "Let's take care of this. Let's make this ours." Of course I said yes.
With the grass halfway up the trees.
Well, yeah, that's a minor detail. Actually, at that point, there were sheep in the grove, so the grass hadn't gotten halfway up the trees. By the time we moved in, it was a wreck, and it took quite a bit of work to get the olive grove under control.
So did you both have the same idea as to what you were going to do with this place?
You know, we, like most people who moved to the country, we didn't really know what we were getting ourselves into. And we thought, oh, this olive grove will just be a nice little hobby, and it'll be easy, and it won't be that much work.
It was about 500 trees,
wasn't
it?
Yeah, 500 trees. And I know now that actually 500 trees is a very small grove.
Yeah.
But, you know, of course, at the time, 500 trees seemed amazing and huge. We've learned a lot, and our neighbors who have olive grove as well, they've taught us quite a bit about how to take care of the grove, how to take care of our animals. You know, whenever we have trouble, we call the neighbors. They've put up with us this long, so we're still on speaking terms.
I would guess that at Martinborough, it's in that general community, that area, there's a wonderful mix of human beings.
Yes. There really is.
A lot of imports like yourselves.
Yes, we have neighbors who are, we've got some local neighbors, some neighbors who are Kiwis who moved to Martinborough. We've got Welsh neighbors. We've got some neighbors who are British. We've got a big mix. It's really nice because we're sort of all in it together and we're learning together, so it's great.
So no discernible resentment against rich Americans?
No, because they see, honestly, I think that the biggest thing in the country is if you work hard on your property and you take care of it, people give you respect. I hope that we've done enough work to earn respect.
And the actual cottage, what state was that in when you first...
The house was in decent nick.
There's a New Zealand thing already.
It's saying decent nick.
It's just dropping off your tongue.
I hear it all the time. It becomes part of my vocabulary. it was in good shape. It was really there was some work that we did on it because there was an odd brick wall in the middle of one room that we took down and did some improvements to the house.
Well, I hope neighbors warned you about taking walls out.
Well, they did. Did they ever? In fact, we realized when we started talking about that wall that the house came with an advisory committee. They all had opinions on what we should do with that wall and how we should do it. And we eventually got approval from the committee.
And you'd have a neighbor who would nod wisely and say, "That's a load-bearing wall."
Yes. Our one neighbor, Jim the Mad Welshman, he is an engineer, and so he pointed out it was a load-bearing wall, but in fact, there was a pillar that was load-bearing, and the rest of the wall was okay. So we did receive permission to take out the wall, and then we actually had the people we bought the house from, they came out, and they took a look, and I was a little nervous because I felt like, uh-oh, it's still their house, but oh yeah, it's our house, it's okay. She approved heartily and said, "I always hated that wall." So we did a good thing.
So... you improved not obviously didn't need a lot. And then what became the next priority? Get some sheep into the olive grove.
Well, what we did, before we got the sheep in the grove, we'd heard that sheep could damage the trees, and so we were afraid to put sheep in the grove. We've since learned out how you can manage that, and we have sheep in the grove now. But at the time, we didn't know that, so we went around trying to cut out all the suckers out of the base of every tree that they grow, sort of non-fruit bearing branches, yeah. And we went by hand cutting suckers out of, 500 trees. It took
turned weeks. Out you were the suckers.
You got it. We were the suckers. And we've since learned that it is okay to have sheep in a grove, and not only do they chew down the grass, but they eat the suckers as well. And as long as you watch them to make sure they're not eating the bark, it's okay.
Do all your sheep have names?
No, they don't.
But there would have been a time when all your sheep had names.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And we do, we lease the paddocks, so the sheep don't belong to us, but of course we get very fond of the sheep, and there are a few very special sheep, like Sweetie, who has a strange addiction to chicken feed. You have to watch her out. And she will come up to you acting very sweet and nice, and then she'll just stick her head in the bucket of chicken feed you're carrying. That's all she really wants.
And you had an evil cow?
Absolutely. We had an evil, malicious cow. I never would have thought that such bovine treachery would be possible, but it's true.
In what sense was this cow evil?
This cow would watch you in very odd ways, and it looked like it was calculating things, and it kept breaking into the olive grove and eating the trees. And so we would foolishly, because we didn't know how to herd cattle at all, we just chased it out, running around like madmen. And it didn't like it. It kept breaking into the grove. And one day, after a drought, it had rained that morning and the ground was hard and slippery. CJ went running out of the house to chase that cow out of the grove, and he slipped and fell and broke his rib. And I'm quite sure I saw a very contented look on the face of that cow.
Gotcha.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah.
We've had a lot of fun with it, especially with the chickens.
Chooks.
Yes. We've had a lot of fun with our chooks. They, it's funny, when we first got chooks, we had no idea the way they actually fight for a dominant place in the pecking order.
Mm. And that's why it's called a pecking order.
Go figure, I never knew that. See what you learn when you move to the country? And we would watch them, and the amazing thing was they would battle, and it was like an amazing thing to watch, because here it was as if you were watching giant sumo wrestlers in chicken suits battling it out for supremacy, and it was a thing we decided we didn't really need reality TV when we had chickens. We were so fascinated. Who would become the dominant chicken?
And then there were the pigs, or a pig, the
yes,
Cunny Cunny?
Yes, we started out with a pig, a pet pig that CJ wanted. I was very, very reluctant to get pigs, because I know several people in Martinborough that actually allow their pet Cunny Cunny pigs in the house.
How did you?
I made one very simple rule. We can get a pig, but we have to keep standards. No pigs in the house. I'm proud to say so far that's been true. We have not had any pigs in the house. There was one small exception, but that we won't talk about.
Did that ban apply to all animals? No hens and no chooks?
Yep, no chooks in the house. We actually have no animals in the house. It's amazing somehow we've managed that. We now have three pet Cooney Coonies, and they have a very comfy little pig house out in the paddock, but they don't come in the house.
A lot of those neighbors you talked about, Jared, were similar sort of lifestylers like yourself, reasonably small.
Yep.
Parcels of land with a little house or whatever on them.
Most of the properties around us are about 20 acres or so. We've got some neighbors growing hazelnuts, other neighbors with olives and cattle. We've got some of our neighbors on their 20 acres are almost entirely self-sufficient. So it's always impressive when you go over to someone's house for tea and you have homemade scones with jam from the strawberry patch outside and milk from the cow out back. It's just fantastic.
Well, it's a very desirable part of the world, as you would well know, because there are so many who commute. Even though it's quite some distance, and you guys, it was the bus to Featherston, and then the train.
Yep.
Ever get stuck in the tunnel?
No, fortunately, I have never been stuck in the tunnel. I have been, stuck on the train from time to time, but never, thank goodness, knock on wood, in the tunnel.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's nice that you get a sort of community around the people who commute, and you get to know each other quite a bit, and it's nice.
Yeah. And firewood, I believe you were admonished. Because there was some hint going around the neighborhood that you, a lifestyler on a block, had paid for firewood.
Little did we know that one of the biggest rural sins is to pay for firewood. We work full-time in the city, and so we thought, okay, well, let's just make this quick and easy. We'll pay for firewood. And I accidentally admitted to that at a dinner party one night, and just the silence around the table, the shock and horror that I'd paid for firewood. So shortly after that, one of our neighbors came over, and he was there to try and save our rural souls. And he said, look, I know where there's some downed wood, and you're going to go with me, and we're going to get some firewood, and you're not going to pay for it.
Jared, what were the most difficult, apart from the language idiosyncrasies, you know, learning chooks and, yes. and cookies with biscuits or da-da-da, what were the really difficult things to get over, to come to terms with, to understand?
I think the hardest thing was actually getting comfortable with being so close to my food source. I mean, we'd never been that close to cattle and chickens that people were eating and the sheep. And it's really, I still haven't quite made the shift into a farmer mentality that this is food. Mm. I tend to have, you know, I get too attached to the animals. I can't.
Well, when you give them names, it's hard to see them as food.
Exactly.
Isn't it?
So we did try recently to get some meat birds that we were not going to name, and they were going to be just for meat, but something has been killing our chickens. And it started attacking these birds one by one, and the rest of them were so afraid that my partner in particular, CJ, got very attached to them. And I said, don't get attached to those birds because we're going to eat them. And I'm afraid that we ended up having to give them back to the person we got them from because we just couldn't kill them and eat them.
You started a blog
yep.
About 3 years after you'd moved onto the property.
Yep.
Which was prompted mostly by what? Just letting people know what you were doing. And
well, I've always enjoyed writing, and I took a course at the Victoria Institute of Modern Letters, and I had the instructor out for lunch, and she said, you should write about this place, this olive grove. You should write about this. And I thought, why would I write about this? This is where I live. It's just home. Mm. But I took that advice to heart, so I decided I'd start writing about it, and I'd start with a blog, and I just started doing that, and in writing the blog, it became popular. We weren't at first selling our oil commercially, but after writing the blog, people started leaving comments saying, where can I buy your olive oil? And so we said, okay, well, let's sell the oil. Started up doing that, and then the blog became even more popular, and I crafted it into a book, and now it's being published by Random House.
And with the olive oil, you ended up with a trial shipment into Moore Wilson's.
Yes, and I took it to Moore Wilson's, and they loved it. They said it's a beautiful label, it's delicious oil. They loved the blog tie-in, so now you can purchase our olive oil at Moore Wilson's, as well as some places over in Martinborough.
Oh.
And online at our online shop, moonovermartinborough.com.
Moonover Martinborough is it sums up pretty much, of course, a number of things happened with the Moonover Martinborough,
yeah.
and they're all in the book.
And I've always loved the moon, and the olive grove and the moonlight is just beautiful.
Yeah, so you're just as much in love with the property and the locale as you ever were.
Absolutely. It's a great place. I don't know if I could ever leave.
No plans for any of the other expansions in terms of activities or?
No, we've thought, some things I would love to do, I'd love to get bees. That's something that I would really like to try, our own honey. A neighbor of ours is a beekeeper, and I'd love to learn. And we've played around with the idea of planting more olive trees, but at this point we're not sure.
Okay. Did you ever figure out who's more stupid, sheep or chickens?
I would say that's a really tough competition, and it depends on the sheep and the chook. Yeah, I know some pretty stupid chickens, and I know some pretty smart chickens, I got to say.
it's a great book. You tell it really well.
Cheers.
It's a great story about what a lot of New Zealanders aspire to and love doing, to get that little spot out in the countryside somewhere and then wonder what the hell they're going to do with it. And
And
come to terms with animals and vets and all that kind of stuff.
It is a steep learning curve, but for as much frustration it is, it's that much joy as well. And I think as long as you can laugh at yourselves, like we laugh at ourselves quite a bit, and I poke fun of myself and my partner in the book quite a bit, as long as you can laugh at yourself, it's a great adventure.
And I didn't mention the fact that the book also has a significant number of recipes.
Yes, there's recipes in there. A lot of them are recipes that our neighbors gave us because we didn't know how to cook when we first went out there. And our neighbors taught us how to cook. They gave us recipes. I've included some of those recipes in the book.
Yeah, and gluten-free as well.
Yep, gluten-free because I'm gluten-free and I was diagnosed with celiac disease before we moved to the country, so I had to learn how to cook gluten-free, and I didn't know anything. But fortunately, one of my neighbors was also gluten-free, and she taught me everything I need to know.
It's always in the neighborhood somewhere.
It is.
It's a great read. It's a great book, and thanks for your time.
Thank you very much.
Okay. The book is called, if you missed it, Moon Over Martinborough, and the author is Jared Gullion. He and his partner, CJ, are very happy in Martinborough, as he's been calling it.